Now, if you do have your Bible with you this morning, please do turn back to Matthew chapter 11 as we look at this passage this morning. This morning is the third Sunday in Advent. I wonder how your own preparations are going. Have you written your Christmas cards yet? Have you sent them off? The BB post is today, so you've missed it if you haven't written your cards by now. We've got lots of things to do at this time of year, don't we? Lots of busyness that's happening, lots of concerts to go to, family to see, all these different things that are happening. And yet the most important thing that we can do in this season of Advent is prepare our own hearts. And that's what we've tried to be to focus on during these past number of weeks as we come up to Christmas and as we celebrate Jesus coming into the world as the Saviour of the world. Now this morning we again look at John the Baptist, the one who was the forerunner to Jesus. And the passage that we read this morning from Matthew chapter 11, it might surprise us. Because if we compare it to the passage that we looked at last week, we see a bit of a contrast, don't we? Now we are a little further on from where we saw John the Baptist last. We saw him back in Matthew chapter 3. And last week, as we focused on Matthew chapter 3, what we saw was John as a wild man, didn't we? A wild man out in the wilderness, beside the River Jordan, preaching. And we heard the strong message that he had, a message to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And we saw how the people came out, especially from Jerusalem and from Judea, and they came out to see this man John. They listened to his message, they confessed their sin, and they were baptized. They turned away from their sin, and they were brought to a place of newness of life. They were ready for the kingdom of heaven. And we thought last week about our own hearts. Are we ready to receive Jesus as our King? Because he has come as the Savior of the world. Now, at the same time, we also saw those who came out to the wilderness who didn't repent, didn't we? We saw the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and we saw how they came out to the desert, and they very much came to check up on John. They didn't respond in repentance, but rather, they just wanted to see what John was doing. And John calls them out for that, doesn't he? He says, "You brood of vipers, you look good on the outside, effectively, but on the inside, you're unchanged. You haven't responded to the message. You're not willing to be baptized." And so we see the contrast there, don't we? Those who confess their sin, and yet on the other side, those who are unchanged by this message. And what we thought about last week is, are we unchanged? Are we unmoved by this message? Or do we understand God's love, God's great love for us? And do we say to ourselves, look, I'm going to turn away from my sin. I'm going to follow after Jesus because I know he is the Savior of the world. So we see John's strong message last week, don't we? Now John seems so strong and so certain about his message when he's out in the wilderness, doesn't he? Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. And therefore, what we see in Matthew chapter 11 might surprise us. Because things have moved on in John's life. And in Matthew chapter 11, where do we see John? We see him in prison. Remember that John had been imprisoned by Herod because John had rebuked Herod for marrying his brother Philip's wife. He called Herod out and he paid the price for it. He ended up in prison. And so John is imprisoned and his ministry is seemingly ended, isn't it? And from prison, John hears about the deeds of Jesus. Jesus, the one who's meant to be the Messiah. And John finds himself confused. And so he sends his disciples to ask Jesus the question, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Shall we look for someone else? Now, when we read John's question this morning, we might be confused by this question. that John asks Jesus. Because John was the forerunner to Jesus. He was the one who baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, remember? Which was almost a passing the baton on moment. Remember, John said, you know, I must become less, he must become more. He is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I'm only just baptizing with water. And when you know all these things about John, you must think to yourself, well, surely John knows that Jesus is the Messiah. Surely he knows that. Now, I think it could be very tempting for us to be a little harsh on John the Baptist here and think to ourselves, how could John be doubting? How could John be doubting Jesus? But remember here that John is in prison. He's in a place of weakness. And there are times in our life, aren't there, when we're in a more fragile state than others. Times when we are weak. Times when we doubt. And perhaps this is the situation that John finds himself in. You see, it may be also that John hears these reports about Jesus and what Jesus is doing, and Jesus isn't the Messiah that John expects. For truly, how could anyone know what the Messiah would truly be like? Perhaps John thought that Jesus would be more of a freedom fighter, liberating Israel from the grip of Rome. Maybe that's what John thought Jesus would be like. Perhaps this was the idea that John had in his mind of the Messiah. And who could blame him after all? Because remember, even the disciples didn't understand the mission of Jesus fully and understand who Jesus was. Remember at the Garden of Gethsemane? Right at the end of Jesus' ministry, before he was put to death on the cross? What were the disciples doing? No, Jesus went to pray. The disciples couldn't watch even for a moment. And then, who came? Judas. And those who were with him, who accused Jesus. Well, what did the disciples have with them? Swords. That's really interesting, isn't it? Because they're ready to fight. Because they don't truly understand who Jesus is. And so we can't blame John the Baptist here if he thought Jesus was a different kind of Messiah than he expected. There he is in prison. And he's doubting. He's in a place of weakness. Now Jesus' reply to John's message is very telling, isn't it? Because actually it's a reply of reassurance to John. Now, what's key here is that Jesus points to the scriptures, doesn't he? Because what we see him say in reply to John is almost a direct quote from scripture, from Isaiah 35, that we read this morning. And in many ways, Jesus is almost speaking in code to John, because John, I have no doubt, would know his scriptures. He would know what Jesus is referring to. Because what's found in Isaiah chapter 35 is the marks of the Messiah. And what Jesus has been doing in his ministry exactly fulfills what the Messiah should have been doing from Isaiah chapter 35. And so Jesus is almost giving John a coded message saying, think about the scriptures. Look at what they say and then compare them to what I am doing. Because when you do, then you will know the answer to your question. You will know that I am the promise of the Messiah, the promised Messiah. You will know that I am the Savior of the world. And in verse 6, in a beatitude, Jesus encourages John not to stumble. Blessed is the one who does not stumble on account of me. You see, Jesus is not perhaps the kind of Messiah that John expected. And if we're honest with ourselves, perhaps Jesus is not the kind of Messiah that we expect. Perhaps we have our own expectations of what we think the Messiah should be like, or the Son of God, and he doesn't really fit. Sometimes we might wish that Jesus wasn't so controversial, or Jesus wasn't so direct in his message, Perhaps we would want Jesus to simply be meek and mild, as it says in the Christmas carol. Perhaps we would just want Jesus to be nice and not require too much from us. Perhaps we wish that Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross at Calvary. But the fact is that Jesus is not the Messiah that we want, but he is the Messiah that we need. That's the message here. You see, whilst many in Israel at this time were looking forward to a political Messiah, one who would reign in Jerusalem, who would be on David's throne, who would restore the glory days as they saw them. Well, some thought that. In Jesus, what do we have? We have a Messiah who is a liberator, but far more than we could ever have expected. Far more than we can ever have realized. He is the Savior that we need. He is the very Son of God. You see, John's problem is that Jesus isn't the Messiah that he thought he should be. He's doing things he didn't, you know, is that really Messiah kind of behavior? That's what John's question is in his own mind. And maybe we question Jesus. You see, we can be guilty at times, can't we, of making Jesus in our own image. Of trying to say, look, I want Jesus to be a certain way. You know, I'll follow the teaching of Jesus. Well, that stuff about the cross, I'm not going to pay any attention to that. We can pick and choose. But the scriptures tell us what Jesus is truly like. He's not the Savior we want. He is the Savior that we need. You see, Jesus' response to John shows that he is the Messiah that is promised, that has been promised. He's doing all the things that the Messiah should be doing. And Jesus' message is a message really of reassurance to John. John, I am the Messiah. See what I am doing. See how I'm fulfilling Scripture. Take heart and don't stumble, because I am the one who is promised. You see, as John has been in prison, perhaps he thinks his own ministry has been in vain. You know, I've been out there in the wilderness all these years, preaching away, telling the people to come out, and it's been a waste of time. Maybe that's what John thinks. And Jesus wants to reassure him. John, it hasn't been. I am the Messiah. You've been pointing in the right direction. And we see at the end of the passage how warm Jesus is in his praise of John. Someone who is a prophet. And yet more than a prophet. Now, how are we going to think of this passage for ourselves today? Well, the first thing I want to think about this morning is doubt. Is doubt. You see, there'll always be times in our life when we face doubt, aren't there? We wouldn't be human if we didn't face doubt at times. We might doubt if our faith is real. We may have our faith challenged when things go wrong in our life, as it had for John. I'm sure John didn't expect to be in prison. When John said those words, Jesus must become greater and I must become less, he probably didn't think he was going to end up in prison. He probably thought, great, you know, I'll be a follower of Jesus, you know, and I'll help him with his ministry. That would be wonderful. He didn't expect it to go the way it did, to be in prison. Maybe he thought that Jesus would liberate him from prison. That's not what happened. John's faith was tested. And John is there in prison, wondering why Jesus hasn't liberated him. And in those times of doubt, when God seems far off, when we wonder, is Jesus really the Messiah? Is faith really worthwhile? It's good for us to realize that the story of Jesus isn't just a myth, that it's grounded in history. It's a real time, a real place in history. It's grounded in history. And that's why in those times of doubt, we can look at the historical evidence for Jesus existing. We can look at the stories of what Jesus did. We can look back at our own experience of what Jesus has done in our life. Times when we've known the closeness of God. Times when we've seen God answer prayer. And those times, of course, when we're in doubt, we also know the importance of the church, don't we? Those around us who encourage us and support us in our faith. That's the blessing of being part of the family of God. We can all doubt, but God assures us, and we need that assurance, don't we? He assures us that He is there, that He is real, that He really has sent Jesus as a Savior into the world. Just in the same way as Jesus assures John. You see, we might doubt, but Jesus assures us of who He is. And I want to assure you this morning, in those times of doubt, those times when God seems far off, those times when it seems like we're in prison like John was, where we seem far off and God isn't, you know, meeting our expectations, let's be honest, that God is still there. And God has a greater purpose. When John is in prison thinking, why is Jesus not liberating me? Why is Jesus not liberating Jerusalem? It's because God had a greater plan, a far more marvelous plan. That Jesus would not just be the Savior of one people, a chosen nation. He would be the Savior of the world. He would liberate all who believe in Him from their sin and their shame. And in your own life, recognize that God has a greater plan for you. And He knows what is best for you, even in the times of pain, even in the times of sadness, that God is there. And He holds you with His righteous right hand. And He's not let you go. Do you think that Jesus had forgotten about John? I don't believe it for a second. I believe that Jesus loved John. You see that in Scripture. You see the fondness that there is between them. God has not forgotten about you in your own situation today. The second thing I want to think about this morning is this. That Jesus truly is the Messiah that we need. He truly is the Messiah we need. He is the Messiah that we need this Christmas. He is that Messiah. You see, John hears about Jesus and he's confused. Is this what the Messiah should be doing? And we might look at the Christmas story and we might wonder, is this the Son of God come to earth as a little baby? We may see how Jesus reaches out to those in distress and not to the religious authorities. We may see how Jesus dies on the cross and we may wonder, how can this be the Son of God? How can God truly die on the cross? That's a mystery, isn't it? How could that happen? But He is the Son of God. He is the Savior that we need. He is the one who shows God's love, who saves us from sin, and who brings us to the Father. And I want to encourage you this morning that love truly did come down at Christmas. I want you to assure you of that this morning. You see, sometimes if we're honest, Christmas is a disappointment, isn't it? Christmas, you see all those adverts on the television. And you see them, you know, the Sainsbury's advert or whatever it might be. And what do you see? You see a perfect family. And you see them all sitting round the table, big smiles on their faces. Lovely, you know, the turkey's not burnt. It's not dry. It's wonderful. It's succulent. It's wonderful. You know, the sprouts are just done to perfection. Everything is perfect. It's almost as if there's no dishes to clean at the end of the time. You know, it's not reality, is it? And we know that's not reality. Christmas can sometimes be disappointing. It can be difficult. It can be hard. It can be challenging because of family and whatever else. Lots of different things going on. But Jesus is never a disappointment. And Christmas should never be a disappointment for us. Why? Because God has shown His great love for us. And if you come to this time of the year and you come to it with dread and you think, oh, here we go again. I've got all these things to do. I've got difficulties with my family. I've got difficulties with, you know, doing the Christmas dinner, all these different things. I want you to stop for a moment and understand that God loves you. He sent Jesus into the world as your Saviour, as your Messiah, that you might know that fulfillment in sight. Jesus is never disappointing. Sometimes we do receive gifts that are disappointing, don't we? I don't like the colour of those socks. Or that, you know, but I'll just put them in my drawer anyway, you know. I'll never wear them. Sometimes we receive things that are disappointing. But Jesus is never disappointing. And he never lets us down. Do you truly believe that this morning? That he is the Messiah that you need. He is the greatest gift of all. Do you know that this morning? You see, sometimes at Christmas, you know, we feel we should be like the Sainsbury's advert, fixed smiles on our faces. But I want you to know this morning that you ought to have a smile in your face that is genuine. Not because of the cultural aspects of Christmas, because you realize God loves me. How wonderful. What a wonderful thing it is that God sent Jesus into the world as my Savior, as the Savior of the world, the greatest gift of all. You see, that's the wonder of Christmas, isn't it? That God gives us exactly what we need. It's wonderful, isn't it? And so I want you to think this morning. Think about John the Baptist in prison. Think about the doubts that he has in his mind. Think about all that he's gone through. Why is Jesus not releasing me here? But Jesus was a far greater Savior than he realized. He was the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And if we truly understand who Jesus is this morning, that will change our life. We'll go from a place of just defining Christmas a drag to a place where we understand Christmas is wonderful because of what God has done. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, as we come before you this day, we recognize that although we do enjoy Christmas, that sometimes it has its difficult aspects. Family difficulties, busyness, stress. Times where we think it should be better than it actually is. But Lord God, we thank you for the true meaning of Christmas. Love coming down in bodily form. Jesus, the Savior of the world. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the very Son of God. Jesus, the gift of God that we need. And we pray, Lord God, that we might know this deep in our hearts this day. And we might know the joy that Jesus brings to each one of us. Lord God, this morning we thank you for your word. And we thank you for John the Baptist, because we understand that John the Baptist was a real person, that he had real doubts. And Lord God, we in many ways are sympathetic with him, empathetic, because we understand in our own lives that there are times when we doubt. Times where we doubt whether our faith is worthwhile. Times when we doubt whether you're even there. But Lord God, we thank you that you are there. And that you've sent Jesus into the world as the very Savior that we need. And we pray, Lord God, that as we put our faith and trust in him, that you might move our hearts, that you might move our souls, and that we might know that deep joy within, because our salvation is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, loving Lord God, we ask that you would speak to us through your word this day, we pray. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.